Jermaine, why don't you come preach to us? Praise the Lord. Is anybody thankful to be in the house of the Lord on a Friday night? Come on, somebody. Is anybody thankful to be in God's house on a Friday night? Is anybody thankful to be in God's house on a Friday night? I'll stand up on your feet right now. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Somebody lift up your voice in this place. Somebody clap your hands. Somebody shout unto God. So thankful for the presence that I feel in the house of the Lord. I'm so thankful to be in his house one more time. As many places that we could have been, but it's Friday night and every day is a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Can the saints say amen? So excited to be in the house. I don't take it lightly. I do believe that I have a word from God and I don't want to waste much time. So let's get into the word of the Lord. I'm so glad my wife is here. Thankful that Stella's in the house. So glad that Breezy Sky is in the building. I feel better. Without further ado, let's get into the word of the Lord. Let's turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and starting in verse 1. When you've got it, say amen. If you need it, say wait on me. We'll wait. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. We're going to jump to verse 13. And these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And we're going to jump to verse 39 and 40. And it says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. That they without us should not be made perfect. I want to preach by the help of the Holy Ghost on the simple title, this is our day. This is our day. If you would, put your Bibles down. Mighty God, we love you. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, God. We thank you for your provision, oh God. I pray, oh God, that you would be with me, oh God. God, order my footsteps, oh God. Touch my mind, oh God. Touch my thoughts. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Jesus, you're my strength and my redeemer. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This is our day. Hebrews 11, or also known as the Hall of Fame of Faith, chronicles faithful men and women who were highlighted and whom, through faith, obtained a good report. As we read through the accounts of these great men and women, we find that they all had mishaps. They all messed up, and they all were subject to Romans 3 and 23. They were sinners who fell gravely short of the glory of God. You see, these were men and women who, as David so eloquently stated in the 51st Psalm, were shapen in iniquity and were conceived in sin. These were men and women who, just like us, needed a clean heart created within them and a renewed right spirit. Does anybody know what I'm talking about in the house? Great men, but fallen. We can talk about Moses in a moment of youth, killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. In a moment of unbelief, smote the rock instead of speaking to it like God had commanded him to. We can talk about David, the man of war, in a moment of retreat, committed adultery with Bathsheba, which led to him becoming a murderer as he arranged the death of one of the most faithful men we find in the word of God by the name of Uriah. We can talk about Paul, who wreaked havoc of the church, going into houses of Christians and dragging them out to put them in jail, who did everything within his power to stop any move of God in the book of Acts, who said concerning sinners, I am chief. The truth of the matter is that all great men in the word of God have failed. But I didn't come tonight to give you a laundry list of failures. I'm so thankful for these stories, that these stories didn't end here. I'm thankful for a God of restoration. I'm so thankful for a God that calls us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Can I get an amen in the house? But these same men did great things for God. Moses was arguably the greatest leader the world has ever seen. He led God's people out of the bonds of slavery and out of Egypt. Moses gave us the Ten Commandments. David was a man after God's own heart. He killed a lion. He killed a bear. He killed Goliath, the greatest king, the man of war. David taught us how to praise. Most of what we exhort is David. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Let everything that hath breath. We find David dancing down Main Street, teaching us and being the template for praise and worship. Somebody say amen in the house. And Paul wrote most of the New Testament, pastor of many churches, willing to die for the cause of Christ. It was Paul who taught us how to walk this life out in his letters to the church. These are some of the greatest men that the word of God has to offer. But what do they have in common? What separates them from their field? I find through extensive study of the lives of these men that they simply impacted their day. If God was going to do something in their time, they would be the ones that stepped forward. They wouldn't let God move without them. But I didn't come tonight to talk about Moses, and I didn't come tonight to talk about David, and I didn't come tonight to talk about Paul, but I came to talk to a generation of apostolics in Birmingham, Alabama. I came to talk to you because this is our day. Look at your neighbor and say, this is our day. Moses had his day. David had his day. Paul had his day. But this is our day. If it was Moses' day, he would have been here. If it was David's day, he would have been here. If it was Paul's day, he would have been here. I'm thankful for the lives of these men recorded in the word of God, but they're not here. We are. This is our day. God doesn't make mistakes, and he does all things well. I'm here to tell somebody in this house that you're here for a reason. If you're under the sound of my voice, this is your day. It's not David's day. It's not Paul's day. It's not Moses' day. As great as they were, they're not here. Michael, this is your day. Dawson, this is your day. Somebody say amen in the house. I'm not going to preach long at all. We'll be at the music in just a minute, but I feel like I've got a word from the Lord. You see, I've come tonight to challenge this group. And I'm not talking about passive Christians. I'm not talking about people who are just fine to sit on the sidelines. I'm not talking about people who, it doesn't matter whether you get in the game or not. It just, long as we get the win, long as I go to church, and long as my salvation is secure, I'm talking to a group of people that are willing to press into the things of God, that are willing to fight for this day, that are willing to move when God says moves. This is our day. This is our day. This is our day. I'm talking to those who are willing to take ownership of the day. Davin gave me a great book. It's called Extreme Ownership, and I've been going through that book, and it is all in my spirit about ownership. It's the title is what it's about, and it talks about their leadership experiences and the ownership that they took and what they learned about leadership. But as I began to read this book, I started looking around, and I started thinking about people in my life that takes ownership for things. I think about Brother Sutton, and I think about how it doesn't matter if you show up or not, he's gonna be here. It doesn't matter if you're gonna pray or not, he's gonna pray. He's gonna stand in the gap for this city. He's gonna be the man for this day. Somebody say amen. Amen. We're talking about ownership, and we're talking about people that take ownership. I think about Stephen, and he's not here. I'm glad he ain't here. But I think about Stephen, and I think about the work that he puts in on a daily basis. And I call him often, and I talk to him, and we don't know half of the stuff that he does, but he takes ownership. He doesn't just pass it to the next man. He doesn't just say, well, somebody else will do it. Maybe it'll get done. No, he says, this is my day. And if it's going to happen, it's going to happen through me. Can somebody say amen? I'm talking to those who are not afraid to press into God's kingdom. I'm talking to those under the very sound of my voice tonight who know that you know that you know that if you would just step forward, that God would use you. I don't care how many times you messed up. There's a reason that I called out all the failures of those great men before I called out all the great things that they did. Because everybody has failed. God can use you. This is your day. Why not you? Why not now? Why not in this day? Why not? We can sit here and have a conversation about all the reasons why not. But I can tell you that if you take one step forward, God's looking for a willing vessel. I'm up here right now, not because I'm good, but because I said yes to the things of God. And I'm pressing into it, and I'm not afraid, because I know that in me there's nothing, but in God there's everything. I'm thankful to be a part of this day. I know what's next. You look at your life and you say, I'm a mess. God can't use me. I've did this, I've did that. And if we go back to the text and the beginning of the sermon, we talked about all the failures and we talked about all the things that they did. Some of those things would be shunned upon seriously if it was done today. When you look at David's life, I don't think David would have many opportunities to preach to people. I don't think Paul, after everything that he did, would have opportunities. But I'm telling you that God is a God of restoration and that God can use anybody. If you just take one step forward, this is your day. Somebody praise him in this place. So you talk about all the flaws and you talk about all the failures. But I wish so bad in this house that somebody would know that greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Can I tell somebody in this house that you have this treasure in earthen vessels, and the God of David is your God. The God of Moses is your God. The God of Paul is the God that dwells on the inside of you. I wish somebody would take hold of the day. I hope to get this in your spirit like it did mine, but I understand that the medium affects the message, so hopefully I can do my best, and hopefully God can help me through it. But no more looking back after tonight. No more looking back. Dawson preached about that a couple months ago. He talked about never looking back, never turning back, always pressing toward forward, always pressing towards the mark of the high calling of God. Somebody say amen in the house. You have to repent of who you used to be toward who you're supposed to be and who God called you to be. Don't think that this day was caught off guard by God. We serve a proactive God. When we look at creation, when God created from the beginning of time, God created man last on the sixth day. And the reason that he created man on the sixth day instead of the first day is because God is proactive. God is proactive because the first through the fifth day was everything. It was provision for everything that man needed to be successful. And God, when he created you, he gave you everything that you needed to be successful in this day, for this time, for this people. We serve a proactive God. I find Jeremiah where he says, before I formed you, I knew you. I knew what you were going to be up against. I knew what type of day it was going to be. I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations because this is your day. He had a plan for your sin. Before you even committed your first sin, God already had a remedy for it. He already had a plan. I'm telling you that we serve a proactive God, and God's not just going to leave you hanging when you step out there. I need somebody to take a step forward tonight in this house. It's a little quiet in the house, I guess. It's real quiet. I think about Moses. When God is talking to him about becoming the leader of the children of Israel, and he tells God, he says, God, they won't believe me. And God looks at him and he asks him, what's in your hand? And Moses said, a rod. I think about David in 20, if you can go ahead and read for me. It's going to be 1 Samuel 17, 32 through 51. We're going to read a little bit of scripture. I think about David and Goliath. And we know the story, but I want to point some things out in the story as we go forward here. Is anybody thankful to be in God's house tonight? Is anybody truly thankful to be in the house of the Lord? 1 Samuel 17, verse 32.
And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth."
This is something that we hear all the time. You're too young. You're inadequate. You're not ready to fight this man. This man has been fighting his whole life. He's been a man of war from his youth, and you are only a youth. But I'm here to tell somebody, you're never too young to dig into the things of God. You're never too young to press into the things of God. You're never too young to step out there. You're never too young. God's going to catch you every step of the way. I wish somebody would take a step forward. This is your day. Read on, Twan.
And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee."
You see, David had won some battles behind closed doors. David had been praying. David had been walking with God every single day. David was a shepherd on the backside of a hill, but when that bear came for his flock, he was ready to fight. When that lion came for his flock, he was ready to fight. David was a man of war. David was a man after God's own heart. David wasn't afraid to impact his day. David wasn't scared of the day. David wasn't scared of the things that was in front of him. David trusted God. I wish somebody in this house would trust God. I wish somebody in this house would step forward. I wish somebody in this house would take heed to this young preacher tonight. Read on.
And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he stayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off him.
This is what we do. This is what we do. We sit and we know it's time to go to war. We sit and we know that we need to be doing something. And what we do is we say, "Well, maybe if I had this, or maybe if I had that, or maybe if I had a little more of this, or if I can preach like Brother Sutton, or if I can teach like Stephen." But I'm here to tell somebody, you've got exactly what you need. The Bible says that God has given us everything that we need according to life and godliness. You've got every single thing that you need. God doesn't need to, he doesn't need to add anything to you. He doesn't need to add this to you. We need to press into it. We need to understand that this is our day. We need to understand that this is our time. This is our moment. This is our city. Somebody say amen in God's house right now. Go ahead and read on.
And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew unto David, near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, "Am I a dog that thou come unto me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied.
Your strength is not in the weapons that you possess. Your strength is in your faith in God. Your strength is in your relationship with God. I wish somebody would dig into prayer. I wish somebody would dig into worship. I wish somebody would dig into the word of God. Your help comes from God. Your help doesn't come from a sword. Your help doesn't come from the things that you can possess or weapons that you can possess. Your help comes from God. Somebody get a relationship with God tonight. Read on, Twan.
This day will the Lord deliver thee unto mine hand, and I will smite thee.
You need an iPhone.
I do. What verse are we in? This day will the Lord deliver thee unto mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine hand from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assemble shall know that the Lord saveth not the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands.
I'm here to tell somebody this fight that we're fighting in the city of Birmingham, this is not our battle, but this is God's battle. But God uses men. God uses men. He's not just going to give us the city if we're not doing anything about it. We've got to press into it. God uses a man. God stands outside of time, but God deals with men in time, in our time. This is our day. Somebody say amen in the house. Read on.
And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took hence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in the forehead.
In 49 it says, and David put his hand in his bag. He put his hand in his bag that he already had on him. What I'm trying to tell somebody in this house is that you don't need anything else. You've got every single thing that you need. Everything that you need to do the work of God is already on the inside of you. God created you perfect. God created you right. Don't think that there's something wrong with you. You've got everything that you need. The only thing that you need to do is press into his kingdom. The only thing that you need to do is get into your word. You need to get into your prayer life. You need to change the things that you see. This is our day. We can't play around with this stuff. This is God's day. Somebody say amen.
That the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David.
He didn't need a sword because he had whatever he already had that God had given him. That's all he needed. He didn't need anything else. He needed what God had put in his hands. Thank you, Twan. I appreciate it. And so when we look at Moses, he said, what's in your hand? When we look at David, he said, use what's in your hand. When he's looking at Josh, he's saying, use what's in your hand. I don't know what your talents are. I don't know what your gifts are. But you know that you have something that God can use. All you've got to do is give it to him right now. Somebody say amen. Amen. But the question is, are you willing? Are you willing? Will you go? Will you step out when the youth group is going crazy? Will you live for God? Will you step out? Will you be the one that says, I don't have time. This is my day. I don't have another moment. I've got to press into this day. I've got to do the things of God. I've got to walk upright. I've got to live it. I've got to do the things of God. This is my day. My God, I wish I could give it to you like I feel it. Words are tough. I wish I could just scream and just show you how I feel about this. I never forget it. A couple months ago, me, Dawson, Twan, Micah was there. I don't know if he's in the house, but a lot of guys, Josh was there. And we went out and we just started talking about the things of God. And we just started talking about the goodness of God and talking about where our church was, but thinking about where God was going to take us. And we went to eat, and then we went to the hotel and sat in the lobby, and we talked about the things of God, and then we came back up here to pray. And we were facing the city, and we were praying towards the city. And I'll never forget it. This is clear as day right now. I was standing there, and God dropped this whole message in my spirit. He said, "This is our day." And he started breaking it down. He started talking about how the mighty men in the Word of God, they had their day, but they're not here. This is my day. I felt the weight of that on my shoulders that night. And I couldn't sleep for 2 or 3 weeks. I was tossing and turning, thinking about this message. I talked to T and Twan and all those guys about it. And I couldn't shake it. As soon as we got done praying, Stephen looked at the city and he said, "This is our day. This is our day. This is our day. It's not Moses' day. It's not David's day. It's not Paul's day."
All right.
They're great, and we appreciate them, and we can learn so much from them. But the book is still being written. If they can go ahead and come to the music. The book is still being written. The book of Acts never ended. The church is still going on. My question for you is, what will the book of Antoine say? What will the book of Josh say? What will the book of Justin say? What will the book of Elizabeth say? What will the book of Jamara say? What will they say? This is our day. This is our day. We don't have time to play around. We don't have time to waste time. We don't have it. This is our day. This is our day. And I think about the people who are actualizing in this day. And I think about Brother Urshan, and I think about Brother Marks, and I think about Brother Sutton and Stephen and Dawson and Twan and all of these people that are doing something about the day. And I think to myself, it's my day too. It's not just their day. That's the thing about extreme ownership. Extreme ownership is saying, it's not about the next man. It's not about the next person, but it's about what I'm doing to affect change. It's about what I'm doing to this earth. It's about how am I affecting the day. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and say, "This is my day." Not "this is our day," but "this is my day." This is my day. God will use everything that you have. The question is, are you willing? How will you change your world? Will you leave a mark on this day? What will your book say? What will the stories of Raymond say? What will the stories of T say? What will the stories of Dawson say? And I close with this. I think Dr. King said it very well, or he hit around it at least, on the night before he was assassinated. In his very last speech, he said this. He says, "If I was standing at the beginning of time with the possibility of taking a kind of general and panoramic view of the whole of human history up to now, and the Almighty said to me, 'Martin Luther King, which age would you like to live in?' I would take my mental flight by Egypt, and I would watch God's children in their magnificent trek from the dark dungeons of Egypt through, or rather across the Red Sea, through the wilderness or towards the promised land. And in spite of its magnificence, I wouldn't stop there. I would move on by Greece and take my mind to Mount Olympus, and I would see Plato, Aristotle, Socrates assembled around the Parthenon. And I would watch them around the Parthenon as they discussed the great and eternal issues of reality, but I wouldn't stop there. I would go on even to the heyday of the Roman Empire, and I would see the developments around there through various emperors and leaders, but I wouldn't stop there. I would even come up to the day of the Renaissance and get a quick picture of all the Renaissance did for the cultural and aesthetic life of man, but I wouldn't stop there. I would even go by the way that the man for who I am named had his habitat. And I would watch Martin Luther as he tacked his 95 theses on the door at the Church of Wittenberg. But I wouldn't stop there. I would come up even to 1863 and watch a vacillating president by the name of Abraham Lincoln finally come to the conclusion that he had to sign the Emancipation Proclamation. But I wouldn't stop there. I would even come up to the early 30s and see a man grappling with the problems of bankruptcy of his nation. And I would come with an eloquent cry that we have nothing to fear but fear itself. But I wouldn't stop there. Strangely enough, I would turn to the Almighty and say, if you allow me to live just a few years in the second half of the 20th century, I would be happy because this is my day. Suicide, homicide, drugs, homosexuality, social media, sports, Hollywood, pornography, not to mention spiritual strongholds that time doesn't allow us to explore. It's 2017, people. This is our day. How will you affect the day? What will you do to impact your day? Something inside of me cries for the people of this world, and like Moses, I want to stand between the people and the wrath of God and scream, God, just one more chance. Just one more day, God, because this is my day. You put it in my hands, God. I won't drop the ball. God, this is my day. I take on the day. I'm not afraid of the day. This is my day. If you're truly serious about changing your day and making an impact on your day, I want you to come to this altar right now. And I want you to feel the burden of the day. And I want you to pray that God gives you a burden, that God will guide you and walk with you throughout this day. People, this is our day. Somebody cry out to him right now. Sing it as a prayer right now. God, you can use me, oh God. Whatever you need, oh God, I'm here, oh God. Whatever you need, oh God, I'll do it, oh God. This is my day. This is my day. Somebody next to you, if they need the Holy Ghost, go ahead and talk them to through there right now. God's in this place. Whatever you need is in the house of the Lord. Somebody take control of it. God's still in this place right now. Press on in right now. Press on in right now.